Amen. Give him a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. I can't wait until we can more fully express our love to him. We do our best in the meantime. Amen. But English is so clumsy. So is every other language. Whatever language we're going to speak, I'm looking forward to it. Because you'll say what you mean and you'll mean what you say. And there won't be any ambiguity and misunderstanding. We won't need an interpreter. Thank God for the interpreters in the meantime. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you happy tonight? Hallelujah. God bless you. Well, we're thankful to have our brother J.R. Reek with us tonight from Life Tabernacle in Amarillo, Texas. If you don't know where Amarillo is, look on the map. It's up there in the, I guess it's High Plains in the, kind of the panhandle area of Texas. And I think, wasn't there some Dust Bowl activity there back in the, I think that was, the Dust Bowl was around there. If you're familiar with what took place, we over-farmed and killed all the buffalo off, and we had dust blowing across the middle of the United States for a decade. People lost their homes. Many of them ended out here in Arizona. It's because they broke down before they got to California. It's not my joke. It's the truth. It's only funny because it's true. That's what Brother Carpenter used to say all the time. He said, an Arizonan is an Okie that broke down on his way to California. You know, it was kind of sad because, it was really sad. It was, California closed its border, and you had to have so much money before they started making up new rules, and you had to have so much money before you could cross over. And these people were, they were desperate. But we serve a living God tonight. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. I was just thinking about that tonight because it's still windy in Amarillo. we can have snow here and then the next day it's sunny. So if you don't like the weather today, just stick around. Tomorrow will be better, right? Yeah. Amen. We have so much to be thankful for. Well, we want our brother to have his liberty tonight. We don't want him to feel nervous, and this is his first time speaking for us, but we want him to just feel like home folk. We believe the same thing. We worship the same God. We're going to the same heaven. We're preparing for the same rapture. Amen. So we're feeding on the same word. So let's pull in the gift of God tonight. God will send ministering gifts, and many times they'll say the same thing, but just in a little different way, the way that you need to hear it. And that's our Lord. That's a good argument for those that say, God didn't send me the fivefold ministry, just sent it to some, just to you numbskulls that need it and the rest of us, Well, not only did he send it, but he sent it in every different way to make sure that we get it. Aren't you thankful for that? We can hear the same thing and not get it, and then hear it again and not get it, and then hear it again and not get it, and then God will send somebody all around that you never heard of, and you'll get it. And you'll tell the pastor, I've never heard that before. Really. We don't care. What we care is that you get it. That's our motive and our objective here tonight. Amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Say, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Hallelujah. Let's have church tonight. Who wants to have church? There's gonna be a meeting tonight, a meeting tonight, meeting on the old church grounds. There's gonna be a meeting tonight, meeting tonight, meeting on the old church grounds. We're gonna see Jesus tonight, Jesus tonight. Jesus on the old church ground. We're gonna see Jesus tonight. Jesus tonight.
Jesus on the old church ground. There's gonna be singing tonight, singing on the old church ground. There's gonna be singing tonight, singing on the old church ground. There's gonna be preaching tonight, preaching on the old church ground. There's gonna be preaching tonight, preaching on the old church ground. There's gonna be healing tonight, healing tonight. If you have a need, put your hand up tonight. Church ground, there's gonna be healing tonight, healing on the old church ground. There's gonna be deliverance tonight, deliverance on the old church ground. There's gonna be deliverance. On the old church ground. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Might as well have church. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, I don't know what you came to do, I came to praise the Lord. Yes, I don't know what you came to do, I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Others come to criticize, but I came to praise the Lord. Others come to criticize, but I came to praise the Lord. Others come to criticize, I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. All right. Are you loosened up a little bit now? Are you ready for the word? How many believes that God has just what we need tonight? I believe that too. Amen. God bless.
Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Just makes you feel good all over, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. If they can shout and do all those crazy things in the world, I believe we got something on them, church. Amen. We've got a reason to shout. Amen. We've got something to shout about. Amen. It's better than whatever they have to offer. We've got victory. Real victory. Amen. And if you've been delivered, you've got something to praise the Lord for. Amen. Each one of us, maybe we can say tonight that we've been delivered of something. And one thing that we can say tonight is it's a blessing to be on the receiving end. Amen. Of God's deliverance. I know I've been delivered. You've been set free from something, and I just thank the Lord for that. I just want to thank the Lord for that tonight. Amen. Isn't He wonderful? Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment, and we'll stand to read the word here in just a moment. But just before we do, just want to say appreciate your pastor, Brother Baker. We've been in a few meetings with him, and he was ministering and really enjoyed the ministering of the word. And I just want to thank the Lord for that, because I just want to tell you, you're blessed. Amen. And if you didn't know it, I'm going to tell you tonight, you're blessed to have a man of God that will stand for the word in this hour that we're living in. And you need to put your shoulders to the wheel. Amen. It's don't leave it all for him to do, or this one, that one, or the other one. But we've all got to work, church. We've all got something that we can do. And I believe that with all of our heart. And so we just want to say we appreciate Brother Doug Baker and his wife. Amen. They've just treated us so well. And I feel like I'm part of them. And isn't that just wonderful? You go somewhere and, you know, I've never been here. I've never been here. And just coming into the service this morning and I'm sitting back there and the music began to play and the voices begin to raise and something in my heart just began to be so excited to know that we're with believers. Amen. Every one of us. Oh my, what's it going to be like when we get on the other side? Hallelujah. All kindreds, tongues, and nations on the other side. Oh my, church, that's a blessing. Amen. So don't take those things for granted. Enjoy worshiping God. I love this little stone. I didn't see it from where I was sitting this morning. And as I was walking up here this evening, as our brother was leading me back here, and I saw this stone, and I thought, oh Lord, he's not taking my place. Amen. He's not taking my place. There's no stone. Amen. I just want to say I love the Lord. I just turned 41 yesterday, and I got the royal treatment by Sister Jennifer. They took me and cut the ties off and all that good stuff. And so, like I said, I got the royal treatment. So, initiated or however, the Tucsonites got me. I just appreciate each and every one of you, and hopefully there's something, and I believe it will. You know, I can't make you hungry, but I believe if there's a hunger in your heart, there's not something you got to pump up or prime or I don't know. I do plumbing on for labor back home, and there's nothing like trying to prime a pump to get that thing to work. And you put water in it and you turn it on and get things trying to go and everything's got to be set just right for that thing to work. But you know, you get something that doesn't have to be primed and all those things. You just plug it in and it's going to go. Amen. If we get plugged in tonight, I believe we'll just go. Amen. Hallelujah. I told the church back home, I said, you know, I'm tired of trying to get to the air pump out and try to pump up balls that are full of holes. Let's get the holes patched. Amen. And then let God do all the pumping up. Amen. But we just appreciate the Lord. And I'll just give you a quick background just so you don't be all shocked of who this was. But I was born in Phoenix, Arizona many years ago, well, 41 years ago. And was there and raised there. I went to church a couple different places when I was younger till I was 12. And then we moved to Amarillo, Texas, and we've been there ever since. So I guess now I'm a Texan because I've been there longer than I've been in Arizona. But there's nothing like coming back what I call home and seeing the mountains and the beauty of God's creation and just, you know, just enjoying that. And I thought I had to come all the way to Tucson to get some snow. And isn't that something? My uncle in Phoenix was apologizing for all the weather and the rain, and I'm like, don't apologize. I love this kind of weather. It's cool and it's nice, and so he's like, well, I figured you just come in here for some sunshine, but you know, as long as he's shining, amen. That's what's important. But amen. I just gave my heart to the Lord at a young age and been raised in the message. But you know, you have to have an experience. Doesn't matter where you've come from. You can be born. I tell the church back home, I feel like I was born on a church pew. But you know, that doesn't really matter. You have to have an experience with God. And it's so important, brothers and sisters, that we have that experience. That's the only thing that's going to hold us in this hour. We better get started here. We're going to be here all night. I can tell already. Amen. But the Lord laid this thought upon my heart. And I was talking to Brother Doug last night, and he'd asked me to minister this evening, and I went back to the motel room, and this was really weighing heavy on my heart. And then I come to the church this morning, and your pastor, I know there's no way I can... I'll just tell you this, when I'm sitting back there and your pastor's preaching, I'm sitting there in awe and just of the way he's able to bring this word. And I know each one of us have something that God's given us. So I don't want to make light of what the Lord's blessed me with as well. But I do appreciate the Lord for His goodness. But just reading this scripture, and I want us to stand, if you will, and turn to Numbers chapter 17. And like I said, I'm not going to be able to take away from anything. That I know He's probably got more, since that was part 16. He's probably got some more coming. And hallelujah. So, but this thought was really burning on my heart, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. Numbers chapter 17, we'll just begin reading at verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel." And I don't have to give much background here, because if you were here this morning, you don't need much background. Amen. "Speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, and all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers." And it says, "And thou shalt," verse 4, "and thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose," notice the Lord speaking here, "whom I shall choose shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you." Let's pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, Father, we just humbly bow before your throne of mercy and grace tonight. God, we're here, Lord, vessels, Lord, in your hands. We're asking, Lord, that you just come and that you'd have your way. God, would you take this thought, Lord, that you have laid upon our heart, and Lord, would you break the bread of life to every hungry heart that's here tonight. Lord, don't let one of us leave here not knowing who we are, Lord, not being in contact with that presence, Lord, that atmosphere. We ask, Lord, that you just come, Lord, in your own special way. Lord, whether it be shouting, Lord, whether it be weeping, Lord, whatever it may be, however you would want to move, move, Lord, tonight. Have your way, Father. And we're asking, Father, that you just take your liberty, Father, we pray. We love you for it and give you the glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Amen. This little thought from these verses of Scripture, I want to talk about, if we can, tonight. Just it's a really simple verse of Scripture that we just read. And I know there's probably been many, many thoughts that's been taken from this verses of Scripture. But, you know, sometimes the Lord just lays something on your heart, and just, I love when God just comes down and He takes the book and just opens it right before you, and just begins to jump out. Amen. Just, yeah. There's an excitement in there. And we'll get to the thought here in just a moment. But, you know, like we heard that this morning, there was such a murmuring. There was a complaining going on. I looked up the word murmur, and just to help us understand, and the word murmur means complaining with a stubborn attitude. Now, how many heard murmuring? I've heard murmuring, and you know, every one of us at some time or another, maybe you've asked your children to take out the trash, and there's the murmuring. Maybe it was to go do the dishes, and there was that, they knew they had to do it, but there was that regret, that stubbornness that, oh, I'm going to do it, but I just don't want to. Murmuring also means a speech that is not clear enough to be understood. So murmuring kind of comes when one of those things you say, "Hey, I want you to go do this," and they turn around and they'll say, because they don't want to say it to your face. All they want is to complain about the situation. Now, brothers and sisters, if you ever realize what God's brought you out of and what He's really taking you to, there should be no murmuring in the church. Amen. If we have a revelation of what He's brought us out of, I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want the garlics and the leeks and the onions. Brothers and sisters, I've got a promise. You've got a promise. Amen. God has sent us here in this hour, in the Laodicean time, brothers and sisters, to be the light in this time. We should not murmur and complain because, oh my, He sent us at the hardest time, in the darkest moment. But like we've said so many times, there's such a contrast, amen, that we're in right now, the light and the darkness. Amen. But all churches at one time have had murmuring. It happens. It goes through. And I don't know about you, but it's like when one person starts, it's like an epidemic. It's something that begins to grow. And I can see it even, I've had it in my children before where maybe they begin to, one's got that little bit of an attitude or whatever it may be. And all of a sudden how did it multiply? Now it's this one and that one. And if we're not careful, then it's the husband and then it's the wife. And then we're just an unhappy family. Why? Because it breeds. It continues to grow. But brothers and sisters, I believe, like we've heard even this morning, that God's going to shut the mouths, amen, of the murmuring. Amen. He's got a plan. Oh my. So everybody thinks they got a better idea. Everybody thinks that somebody else's job is easy. At home, I've done the plumbing work. I've started as a ditch digger. And anybody knows what that means? That means that you're the lowest on the totem pole. You pick up the shovel, you dig the holes where they tell you to dig them, and then if they tell you to fill it back up, you fill it up. You do whatever you're told. It's the bottom. But brothers and sisters, there's rest in that. But people aren't satisfied. People don't want to do a lot what they're told. I even see this now because now I'm in a management position, and I tell people now I would rather fix pipe than people. Because they don't talk back. They don't have anything else to say. And it's so much easier than a lot of times fixing people. Because now in a management position, you have to deal with a lot of people. And everybody thinks that somebody else's job is easy. Somebody else's job is so much simpler. Well, you know, we can come to the house of God and, well, the pastor's job isn't that hard. You know, why does he have to, why is he acting like it's such a burden that he's got to carry? Or this one, that one, or the other one. You know, the deacons, whoever it may be, a lot of times we get that mindset. You know, maybe we think we could do something better. Everybody's had a better idea. There's nothing wrong with maybe a suggestion, but we should take those suggestions and say, Lord, is that really maybe something that's needed? Or maybe we ought to just take those suggestions to the Lord and then let the Lord sort them out. Amen. Because everybody thinks they can do something. Everybody thinks, you know, it's so easy. All right, but you know, you really can't do it. The preaching, that's easy. He just got to get up here and got to yell at us for about 45 minutes or an hour and a half, and then he can go home and sleep. And that's all the preacher really has to do. Brothers and sisters, that's not the end of it. Right. And we're not going to get into that. But I want you to notice in chapter 16, which our brother Doug, he didn't get fully into that, but there's a whole lot of people that got killed in chapter 16. God was sorting things out. Oh my. When everybody has an idea that they think, you know, we can do this, we can do that. But I want you to think about who you're following. I want you to think tonight about who you're following. Because brothers and sisters, if you're following the wrong man. Hello. If you're following the wrong man, you're going to end up dead.
Right.
If you're following, you can go back and read chapter 16. If you're following the Dathans and the Korahs,
right. What
happens? See, God gives a divine call,
right. Amen,
to a man that will stand on this word and preach the word without fear or favor or any kind of scratching somebody else's back, but they will stand for the word and the word only. And the devil don't like it when there's a man that will give God the opportunity to use that vessel. Oh my. But there's a whole lot of people that don't like it. There's going to be people that don't like your ministry. Whatever your ministry is, there's people that aren't going to like it. We might as well just get used to it. Amen. But look what was going on. So this is what had happened. And God says, you know what? I'm going to sort this thing out. I'm going to sort this out. So he told Moses, he said, speak to the children of Israel and have every one of them, the ones that were heads of the tribes, the princes as it were, and take them and have them bring a rod. Now a rod represents authority. A rod represents, it has marks of identification. So each person that had a rod had certain marks on the rod to identify whose rod that was. Oh my, aren't you glad? Amen. For one, I'm so glad to know that our authority is not in me, or it's not in anything I have done, brothers and sisters, but the authority, God, Jesus even said, He said that in my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, listen, in my name, not the church's name or whatever it may be, not a man's name, not a prophet. Hello. But what was it? It was in my name, they shall cast out devils. What is that? That's authority. That's authority. You have the authority by God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh my. So what was it? Each one of these, we know that God, I don't have to go a whole lot into the background. I think the Lord saved us on that. You ought to be really thankful tonight, because the way He brought everything out this morning saves you 25 minutes at least. Amen. So we're gonna make this short. Oh my. But I was looking at how that God had elected, He had elected Aaron and his sons to be that priesthood. God had chosen them. I like what He said this morning. He said, Aaron, was he perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. Aaron had his faults. He had his failures. Do I? Sure. Ask my parents, ask my wife, ask my family. Every one of us have faults and failures. But brothers and sisters, we're not looking to that tonight. We're looking to the cross. We're looking to the blood. Amen. So what had happened is they have this rod, and I just want to take this point, and it says that they took this each rod, and it says, now write every man's name upon his rod. So here's all the, I like picturing things, and maybe I'm just crazy for that, but I like picturing, can you imagine the prestige of one of those 12? One of the 12. Boy, I like using stuff. Sometimes I just grab something. Can you imagine what it was like as they brought their rods to Moses? They took their rod. They were excited. This was my rod. Can you mind if I use this for a minute? All right, we'll use this. Look at my rod. Look at my rod. This is my, I've been called. You know, he told, even Moses said, get your rod and bring it here, because we're going to put it in the tabernacle. We're going to put it and let God sort this all out. So here's my rod. And here he brings his rod to Moses, and he sets his rod down, and he's just all big smiles. Why? Because his rod has been chosen to be set into the house of the Lord. And so what they do, they wrote his name on that and put it, maybe just tagged it, and then Moses took it from there, and now he gathers all these rods, and the Bible says that he took it into that holy place. Hallelujah. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's think about what God has done in this hour. Oh, there, my thought tonight is only one will be changed. Only one will be changed. So each man brought his rod. Each man had a certain part of authority. Each man, I believe, had marks of identification. This rod had been proven. But I want us to really think, how many would just bring the most terrible thing that you had? I'll just give God whatever's left over. No, what'd they bring? They brought their rod. It was something that was treasured. It was something to identify who they were. They took this rod and they brought it to the, as it were, just to the house of the Lord. And sometimes I've told folks this before, you know, there's only certain things that are good left over. Okay. You know, spaghetti is one of them. You may not believe that, but spaghetti's actually good left over. Well, at least my wife's spaghetti. I don't know about y'all, but my wife's spaghetti is good left over. But there's some, why? Because certain things sit together. But you know, there's something about other things that I don't like a leftover steak. Maybe you do. If you do, I'll pray for you, because that's just strange. I like something fresh. If it's like that, I like it fresh. And I believe sometimes when we come to the house of God, I believe we ought to bring something, a fresh praise. I believe we ought to give God a fresh worship. Something that's not just left over. You know, we've given work on Wednesdays. We give work all that time. We give the whole work week to what? Work, work. You got to show up. You got to be there. You got to put forth an effort. But what about the house of God? What about when we come here, brothers and sisters, and you as individuals begin to create the atmosphere that maybe a lost lamb somewhere can walk through them doors and find Christ? Oh, but brother Doug, that's too much work. That's just too much work. You're giving God leftovers. How about giving God your all? How about serving Him with every fiber of your being? How about worshiping God like we've got something to worship God about? Bring forth your best. Oh, you know, Brother Branham said that we're supposed to bring our best. He said to wear your best, whatever, even if it's a pair of overalls. But we want to take that a little further. I want to save more than what you're wearing. But what are you wearing in here? Hallelujah. Bring all the love that you've got throughout the week. Amen. Bring all the joy. You just can't wait to see Sister Sally or Brother Joe or whoever it is and say, oh, look what God's done this week. Oh, but it's Wednesday. Oh, my. You know, it's a Wednesday night. You know, out of all that you got, out of all that they had, every one of them had something in common. They had a dead stick. I'm looking at a lot of dead sticks. Hello. Because that's the best you got. But that's all you got. But that's all God's asked you to bring. Oh, aren't you glad that God has a plan? Oh my. So the best we got is just a dry stick. Sometimes those dry sticks hang around a lot longer than they should. Amen. They need to start finding some life. Amen. You know, I want to just tell you, it only took one night for that Aaron's rod to bud. It only took one night for Aaron's rod to be in the presence of God in such an atmosphere that was in there that something on the inside of that little rod began to push forth. Sometimes we sit in church for 10 years and we can't get moved. You know, that tells me something. There was others that were in that same place, in the same atmosphere, but they were never changed. We got some people that come to church, but they never change. We got some people that just want to stay in their same old rut, but God's calling a word bride out of this age, brothers and sisters, to do what? To start budding. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my. See, you got to be called to be able to handle this word at this hour. Amen. You have to be called for this. So now if you take those 12 plus Aaron's, now there was 13 rods. Like I said, you know, a lot of people don't want to change. You know, all the church, I want to say, look, if you look here, it says that they brought all their rods and they had to write their names. So they must have all looked similar. They all must have looked like message believers. They all must have wore the clothesline like message believers. Hello. They all must have had a little bit that looked similar. Well, they were all dry sticks. But God says we're going to tag these. He says, I want you to name these. Put their names on them. How many's glad that God's put your name down? Hallelujah. And it's not you. Aaron didn't go in there and just live. We come to church sometimes, we try to fix it. Well, if I go to church enough, I guess that'll make it good. No, brother, sister, that ain't going to make it either. I'm not saying stay away from church at all. But oh my, can you imagine what it was? He brought his rod as well. All of them, they look the same. But 12 out of the 13 stayed the same. He says, write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their father. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. Oh, there's a meeting going on. Amen. How many believes he's meeting us in there? Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And it shall come to pass, verse 5, that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. So here God, before it even happens, is giving a prophecy of what shall be. Oh, God always leaves His people a rescue. He always leaves them an out. Brother, sister, He gives them prophecy to tell them what to expect. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It says, they shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children. God's done. The cup's been filled up. Amen. Whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of them of their princes gave him a rod for each prince one according to their father's house, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. So Moses did his part. Yeah. Moses didn't do the changing. He couldn't do the changing, but he had a part to play. And that part was instrumental in bringing this bride to a place where we can start blossoming. Amen. It says, and Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded. Someone say budded. And, that's not where it stopped, and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms, and God, when He does something, He just does it all. He gives you the hot fudge sundae and the cherry on top. Amen. Why? What is that? It's because He's just going to blow your mind. I love it. Woo, that's the kind of God I serve. Amen. And yielded almonds. Hallelujah. So here's what has happened here. We know this story. I know it's very familiar to you, but I just begin to really look at this, and I want this to, I just pray it would be a blessing. I looked at these three things, and a lot of times it's good. It's good. How many here has ever seen a flower? Three of you. Okay. God bless you. The rest of you will meet later. Okay. We might need to go to the grocery store and find one. But I want to take this in three phases. And let the Lord just help you. I don't want to say anything here tonight that's against what you believe or anything, but I just want to be led of the Spirit to speak. But if there is something, brother, sister, just count it to my ignorance. But I begin to look at this, and this word bud, it's something when it's all closed up. How many here's ever taken a picture of a flower? Y'all got Facebook, right, and all those great things. And what do? You go out to your rose garden and you find... What do you find? You find the little green stem and say, "Phew, let's get a picture of the green stem." No. You look for something, right? You may even find a bud. And what does that mean? That means something's coming. But what is the bud? The bud is closed. What is the bud? It's actually an undeveloped stem. Oh my, it's usually enclosed in protective scales and contains a flower. So inside of there is a flower. So a lot of times the bud is there, but brothers and sisters, maybe it hasn't quite bloomed yet. This is actually the elementary stage, a protection leaf on the outside. It's called the bud. I begin to look at this, and what happened when he was laid there in that, and he was in, that stick was in there. That was just a dry stick. It was laid in there. It was in the dark, but it began to bud. I believe there's a lot of us maybe can say that we sat on a pew. Amen. Yeah. The gospel being preached, and then all of a sudden life started rolling. Right. Hallelujah. What was happening? Yeah. The bud. We were still closed up. We didn't really rejoice like we ought to rejoice. Because maybe we were a little bit backward. Yeah. Any of you been backward? Yeah. It's not maybe hard for those that are outgoing and everything. Maybe that's, but brothers and sisters, most of us that are backwards, you know, I think the Lord just takes us and says, this is going to be good. Can I give you a testimony? Yeah. I remember when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost and I wanted it so bad. Because you got to want it with everything that's within you. There's got to be a pool on the inside that's drawing you. And the preacher was preaching and he had finished. And all of a sudden I come up to the front and I was standing there. And there was this lady singing the song. And something inside of me said, run. Who, me? No, that wasn't me. That was not for me. That must have been for somebody else. And I heard it again, run. Well, I was telling the Lord, I don't even know how to run. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's why you're laughing, because it's right. How many of us have, maybe it's just as bad for you when the Lord says, raise your hand. Oh, Lord. Huh? Say hallelujah. Oh, don't do that too. Turn the volume way down. Hallelujah. But when God begins to deal with your heart, you know what I told him? You know what I said? Lord, I'll compromise. I didn't really think this in my mind, but I was doing it. I said, I'll raise my hands. Does that look like running to you? You know what? I didn't get it. I didn't get it. And all of a sudden, that feeling as, I love this. I love this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just comes in like waves. Whew, I love that. If you've ever been to the ocean, those waves just come rolling in. Whoosh, and then you feel that pulled away. What does that mean? It's leaving. If you ever watch the ocean, it comes in waves. Whoosh, 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 gets higher, higher, higher. And then it starts over again. Whew. I was in that moment. And that I felt that presence of the Lord leaving. I said, oh God. So that was my chance. That was my moment. He said, run. And I thought, Lord, is the devil telling me? I thought, no, Lord, the devil wouldn't tell me to run. We go through all this and trying to figure it out. And all I had to do was lift up my legs and take off running. Well, you know what happened? God gave me another chance. Yeah. And here come the way. Whoosh. And there I went, just running as hard as I could run. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, that was a day, that was a staple, as it were, in my life. That was a moment that I could look back to and I can say, Lord, that was a memorial for what you've done. But I want to tell you, it hasn't stopped there. It can't stop with that, brothers and sisters. There's got to be something that continues to draw you closer to Him. Oh my. So I encourage every young person, anyone that hasn't given their life to God, you listen to the Holy Spirit. If He tells you to do something, if He tells you to come to the altar tonight and kneel and pray, you do it. That's what you do. You will have victory on top of victory. It'll be the first step of a possession in your life. Amen. If you'll listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Oh my, so what was going on? They were budding in the dark, even though they were closed up. And we get that way. We get starchy, we get cold. And brothers and sisters, we just begin to sit there and then we miss this service and we don't think it's a real priority. Right, and things start getting in our life. Right. That's the very handiwork of the devil. Right. Don't give him the upper hand. Right. I said, don't give it to him. He don't have it, but don't give it to him. So in the next step, it goes from a bud to a blossom. And a blossom means opened. It's a flower that has bloomed. Hallelujah. And a bloom is a flowering state, period, a state or time of beauty, freshness, and high development. It also means to glow. If you've ever taken a picture, what did you take a picture of? The flower opened. Amen. What causes that flower to open? The light. Whew. You ever been out there in the morning before the sun rose and they're kind of closed up, but the sun begins to rise. As that sun begins to rise, it causes those flowers to start blooming. Oh, brothers and sisters, what happened here was a miracle. Because a lot of times these stages, they'll just go at a certain time. It'll be in that bud stage and then it'll move to this stage. But brother, sister, all these things happen. It goes from there to the fruit stage. And the fruit is the proof of pollination. Pollen is transferred to the seed plants, enabling fertilization and reproduction. You haven't come to fruition because you haven't come to the light. You got to come to the light. Amen. You have to come to the light to have. And who is the light? Jesus is the light. I was looking at this almond because we know it budded here. It says here that it yielded almonds. So it must have been an almond branch. Right? It must have, because that's what it was. That's what it was in its nature. If you look at an almond is, what is it good for? Almonds are good for your heart. Amen? That's what almonds are good for. How many can say that at Calvary, He touched your heart? Yes. Amen. He changed what? Your heart. Amen. Oh my, what a change, brothers and sisters. What a change happened. It's also well known that an almond is an early riser. If you look at it, it's a well-known symbol of resurrection. Because it's the first tree to flower. Oh my. I begin to think about that. It's that first tree to flower. Maybe you can hold your spot, because I do want to read the rest of that here in just a moment, but I want to read something else because this applies to us, church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to read verse 20 and then jump over to about verse 49. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Oh my, how many believes that? And become the first fruits of them that slept. So He is showing us what we are to become. Amen. He's the first one to maturity. Amen. So He is risen. It says He has risen from the dead. Now if you look over to verse 49, it says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, right? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, hallelujah. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Oh, you say, Brother John, I thought there was only one that was to be changed. Yes, but it's one body. It's one collective body. Brothers and sisters, we are all a part of that body. Listen, that we are coming to life. We're recognizing who we are. Oh, boy, I love that, don't you? It says that we shall all be changed. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Someone say changed. Amen. Amen. For the corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Yeah. Oh, if you've ever needed victory, well, I'm going to tell you what, that's a victory like none other. Amen. When I see someone that's passed on, I'll give you a quick testimony of my grandma. As she was getting older, she passed away last, it was October, the end of October. And I remember standing by her bedside. And, you know, she was in the last stages. I think they called it dementia. That's such a terrible demon. It really is. It just affects your mind. And you know, she was to the point where even maybe she had you'd put a picture in front of her and she would be trying to remember in her mind who that was. But she couldn't quite grasp what it was. But you know, when it came down to her laying there on her deathbed and all of a sudden we begin to sing song. We begin to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. And there she was. Her eyes had been closed and she was trying to open her eyes. She tried to lift her hand. Because that's something that the devil can't grasp. He may try to take the mind. He may try to take the body. But brothers and sisters, there's something he cannot have. You talk about something that's eternal. Amen. And as she was going, brothers and sisters, just something inside of me I just began to rejoice knowing where she was going. She was putting all this behind her. But it tells me how real that other dimension is. Oh my. Now they're cheering us on. Amen. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Amen. We can say that. Why? Because we're blood bought. Amen. We're part of the family of God. So let us notice here what happened here. Through all this stages of this little stick being brought to life. Can you imagine? I want to go back to Moses, and can you imagine what it was like for Moses to walk back into that room? And here he grabs all of these sticks and Aaron's. And he walks out with all these sticks. But one of them had signs of life. The rest of them, just like the same that they went in, is the same way they came out. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be a dead stick and leave the presence of God a dead stick. There's one that shall be changed. One will be changed. Do you believe that you're that one? If you have to believe that you're that one. You tonight have to say, you know what? I know that if anyone's going to change, I'm going to change. Why? Because He promised. Amen. He already said. He gave the prophecy. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you, it's got to be me. Amen. Amen. Oh my. So in this 2019, let this be your prayer. I'm going to be one that will change. I'm going to be one that's going to get closer to God. Don't get further away from God by the end of the year. Don't wait for some big revival to take place for you to get closer to God. Let's start praying. Let's start fasting. Let's start getting a hold of God for whatever it is that we need. You need strength? Let's pray. Amen. You know, I did a little study, and this is just extra. It's a side note. I did a little study on fasting here just a few weeks ago, and it really brought things to light and about the power of darkness and all the things that are that we fight against. But you know, it even amazed me was you remember in the Bible where it talks about that man that brought his son, and the disciples couldn't help, and Jesus went over there and delivered that young boy. And they went and asked Jesus and said, why could we not help him? How many say that's a good question? Wouldn't you want to know why? Lord, what is it? What is it in me that has caused this deliverance not to come forth? There's something I've done. He said, this kind comes by prayer and fasting. If you look in the NIV version, it takes fasting out. I couldn't believe that. How deceptive has the devil become? But I begin to think, Lord, let me do whatever it takes. If I got to bring this body under subjection, maybe I need to fast, Lord. But like we've said before in that little series that we took back home, that fasting, that you've got to be led into it. Once you are led into it, brothers and sisters, God's going to do something big. Amen. Amen. I believe He's doing something big right now. Amen. He's doing something big in us. Amen. Why? Because I see some buds. You might be closed tonight. Maybe I see some blossoms tonight. Maybe I see some fruit. Oh, hallelujah. You know, looking at this, all these sticks were brought out, and each one, they looked at it so the whole congregation could see. The whole congregation could recognize. You know, Moses didn't. He was the one that took him back there and the one that brought him back out this way. Did he change it? No. But what did he do? He did what God called him to do, and he held up that rod. We know what that rod was. We know it was Aaron's rod. What is that type of? Aaron's a type of the fivefold ministry. I know we're fighting this. We're fighting this all over. Brothers and sisters, and it's a battle. It is a fight. Yes, it is. But I was looking at this, and this encouraged me. This little almond tree, when it blooms, it has a white flower, and that white flower has five petals on that little flower. And I'll let you fill in the blanks. Cause I'm not trying, I just like types. That's it. I thought, oh God, what a privilege that we have to be a part of the word that's going on in this hour. We're blessed, church. But what was there? There was resurrection power. What was that resurrection power? It was manifested in that stick. That stick didn't have root. It didn't have a top. What did it do? It just sat in the presence of God. And because it was elected rod, because you are an elected seed, because you've been brought out of the things and the mess of Egypt, and you've been brought here, and God has vindicated who you are. Oh, aren't you glad, brothers and sisters, that every time you begin to play a tape or hear a message or whatever it is, that you begin to hear those words go out and you say, I'm identified with that. Oh, hallelujah. There's something that goes on in there. Amen. What was it? It was an atmosphere. I look at this word atmosphere just as to give us a little thought here. On my way to work, I usually keep a water bottle in the truck. And in that water bottle, you know, different times, different seasons and whatnot. Now it's winter. So usually I have a little bit of water that's left in that water bottle. It's sitting there in the cup holder. Do you know what? During the day, maybe it was warm or whatever, and it was at a certain temperature, and you close the lid, and it's not completely sealed, but it's mostly sealed. But you know, going in overnight, I go into my house, and the temperature drops. And when I get out in the morning, it's cold. What has happened to that bottle? It begins to shrivel up. It begins to shrink. Why? Because it's cold. What is it? It's atmosphere. It's the same bottle. It's the same bottle. It's the same water that's in it. But atmosphere changes it. Oh, hallelujah. You go out and you may leave that much water that's in it and leave it for the middle part of the day. I go into work and come out. Maybe it's blistering hot now. What has changed? Just the temperature, right? The temperature's changing. Now what is that bottle doing? It's just about to explode. Same bottle. Same ingredient. But atmosphere has changed. Why do you think atmosphere is so important? Amen. Brothers and sisters, that's part of your job. Amen. Let me read you this. Brother Brandon said this. He says, but that's the hardest thing there is to do, and that's to get the people in that atmosphere. The atmosphere of believing. The atmosphere of worship. That's why we've been called and set aside, become a fanatic or crazy in the eyes of the public, because your dwelling place has changed. Oh, hallelujah. You got into a different atmosphere, and your one motive, your one thought is to stay in that atmosphere. Any person that ever come into that atmosphere one time will never be satisfied nowhere else. You get a hold of this. Oh, brother, sister, I don't know about you, but when I think about, I paraphrase it, and just forgive me if it's too carnal, but I think about when it's a T-bone steak, and everybody knows that the smaller side is the better side. When I was a child, my dad wouldn't mind giving me a little sliver of the big side. But when it come to that good side, you save that for last. You save that. Why? Because it's so tender. And just something about it. You say, well, you're getting excited about steak. I'm getting excited about the word. What happens, church? There's something special. How many believes that God saved the best for last? Oh, hallelujah. There's something about it, church. Oh my, any person ever come into that, he says he will never be satisfied nowhere else. You get a hold of this word and you get it the way the Lord has brought it in this hour, you don't want nothing else. You can say they can have the mess. Amen. Amen. That's why I believe that we should have our churches under the control of the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. Now believe it. Amen. He says it in this manner. He says, notice you can't make yourself anything different from what God intended you to be. That dry stick was a dry stick. It couldn't change to save its life. Anything else is an impersonation. Therefore, if your conversion is only because you're trying to hide behind something or trying to make yourself a better person, you're only playing the part of a hypocrite. He says, until Christ has actually come into your life and changed you. And brought you into an atmosphere. That's the difference of it. What happens? There's something about, if you've ever went to a blossom, that little bud and it has opened up, there's an aroma that comes from that blossom. And isn't he the beautiful rose of Sharon? What an aroma. You ever get in the presence? I love the moments we get in the presence of God, and it's just such a, it feels like it, heaven is open and just feels like it's raining. You ever come out? I don't know. I know you have here. You enjoy the rain because you don't get it a whole lot, I'm assuming. But thinking about it, have you ever come out after the rain and you just went, what was that? Look what that rain has done. Isn't that, I love coming to the house of God and saying, hallelujah. I want to say the chef's been in the kitchen. You ever get home? I told my wife she's not allowed to buy those candles that say apple pie on it. Because if I walk in the house and it smells like apple pie, there better be some apple pie. But we've got churches today that all they know how to do is light candles. Hello? Nobody leaves satisfied because there's nothing real. But if you come to the house of God and you say, Lord, I am here and I want something, Lord, like I've never had. I'm hungry for it, God. What happens? You step up to the table. Hallelujah. Oh my. What is it? An aroma is a distinctive quality or atmosphere or even causes a flavor. How many can walk in and you smell, that smells like this. What is it? It's because you have tasted it before. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad when God comes and He makes something? I don't know about you, but when you enjoy something, you want somebody else to enjoy it too. You, if somebody comes maybe over to your house, and what do? You don't fix them the trash, right? You what do? You want them to enjoy what you enjoy. You know, that's why we go out to dinners and you say, oh, brother, you got to try this. I had this the last time we were here. I'll tell it like Brother Doug. I said, when you were out there in Amarillo, we took you to this place, the Mexican food restaurant. I said, this is what I get when I'm here. You can get what you want, but this is what I get. Did I lead you astray, brother? No. See, look at that. He remembers. Why? There was something about that meal. That's in a carnal state, brothers and sisters. But how many of us in the spiritual can recognize, oh, I've had that before. Hallelujah. Turn over to Numbers chapter 13. I've had that before. Oh, that's good. Turn over to Acts 2 verse 38. Oh, I've had that before, but it's really good. Oh my, what is it? You enjoy it, so you want someone else to enjoy it as well. And how many has ever found that where someone takes it and they're like, ugh. Oh, how do you like it? Oh, it's okay. You're like, what happened? Right? Let me try a bite of that. Oh, that's good stuff. What's wrong with you? That's what you ask them. Because there's nothing wrong with you, right? You ever come, leave the house of the Lord? Maybe you invited someone from work. How'd you enjoy it? Oh, it was okay. What? Okay. Were you there? Or what? Maybe something changed and you said, oh, I never heard it like that. Oh, oh, that's just taste. That's just an appetizer. Amen. That's just an appetizer. Just come on back. We'll serve a 7-meal course, right. Or 7-course meal. We'll get it right. Oh my! What happened? I'm going to try to wrap it up with this. Looking at this, they brought all these rods out. They brought all these rods out, and the Lord said, He said, now, pretty much take these rods, and He said, hand these rods back to these men. Think about this. Each man grabbed his rod. And I could just see it now. They're looking at the rod. And then looking at Aaron's rod. And then looking at their rod. And then looking at Aaron's rod. Maybe they scratch their head and then they put the rod behind the back. Well, what happened? See, only one shall be changed. Are you that one? You believe you're that one? You believe that, church? That you're going to be changed? Does the presence of God affect you in that manner? Do you get in the presence of God and something inside of you? Oh, there's the butterflies and there's the joy and then there's just the bursting and then there's the hallelujahs that come. It's all good.
Amen.
Amen. I was just thinking about what happened here is they handed each man his rod. And then I want you to notice what happened. The Lord told Moses, he said, now take Aaron's rod back. Make sure you give it back. I want you to think about this. Now he said, take Aaron's rod back, and he said, put it back into the ark. Put it back into a place of rest. I'm going to think where it can be in that. What was that a testimony of? It was a testimony for years to come. Generation would go by, and generation would go by. And that high priest that would walk in there, he would see and he would recognize. He was identified, right? His great-great-grandfather. That was his great-great-grandfather's rod. And look what had changed in there. Amen? Now he's looking at and seeing. He's identified with that same rod.
Yeah.
Why? Because he had the same position. Oh, my. Oh, hallelujah. Looking at this, I want to read what I know our brother talked a little bit about this morning, but he didn't finish it, so I think that was just Lord helping me out. Amen. He had to leave me something to preach on tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you, someone say me, hath he quickened, which is to be made alive, who were dead. You were dead. You were a dry stick. Amen. In trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. We have all done it. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh. It says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. I'm so glad he put this in here. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he loved the little rod, me, the little rod, even when I was dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together. Amen. What did they do with that rod? When they took that rod, Aaron had to lift that rod up so they could all see. God had chosen him for that purpose. Made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad that we're a part of that? Amen? So what did he do? He took that rod. He put it back. I got to thinking, you know, how many times Israel got out of line. We know this. We know how many times they just continue to get out of line. You remember when they went into the battle, as it were, and then as they got into the battle, they were going to take the ark with them. And you remember how it says that they even lost the ark while they were in that battle. And the Philistines took the ark, and they placed it in their temple, which I love what the Bible says about that. And their God had fallen on his face. Dagon had fallen on his face. And it just amazes me every time I read that, because here are the people worshiping this God, but they had to help their God up.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know about you, but my God helps me up. I don't help him. He helps me up. And the next day they go in there, what happens? He's laying down again. He's decapitated. Things are laying all across. They said, we don't want this thing around here. Oh, my. I love God. Don't you love him? I just begin to think they wanted the ark back, but you know they did it in the wrong manner. Mm-hmm. You remember that? I'm going to close with this. God had ordained the priests to carry the ark. God had ordained that from the beginning.
Sure.
But these men had an idea, like we've all had at one time.
Yeah.
And it happens even today.
Sure.
And they thought, you know what, we've got an idea. We're going to build, let's just take this car. We're going to take a couple pieces of wood and a couple big wheels. I'm not going to think it's about what we got now. In some places.
Yes,
wanting to do it their way.
Right.
You know, brother, sister, I'm not against people. But I'm against, sometimes, if I can put it this way, I'm against what they're trying to bring forth.
Right.
I'm not against the person. I love the person.
Sure.
But I'm against when they started trying to bring the cart. Because it's all it is a piece of, a couple pieces of wood and a few big wheels. And we've got that now. There's people that have become a few big wheels and a couple pieces of wood. But, you know, they want to do away with the priesthood. They want to do away with the priests and the fivefold ministry. And it may be simple. And I'm not a deep preacher. I'm simple. But I believe God uses each one in His own manner. And I just begin to think, I said, Lord, I don't care if I'm the tail end. I don't care if I'm in the middle. Wherever You want me, Lord, just put me there. But let me be a part of it. So what, you know what happened? You know, the man reached out, tried to touch it, and Uzzah, I believe it was, and he died because the disobedience, they weren't supposed to touch the ark. And David got scared, you know the story. But finally they realized, you know, maybe they had to look back and figure out, how did they carry that? It had been so many years since they'd had it back. And maybe tonight, I would encourage you tonight, if you haven't got it the way you need it, and that's the Bible way, it's time we find, say, Lord, what is it that I need? Because I know it's time to go home, church. Surely the Lord isn't going to tarry much longer. How many's ready for a rapture? You ready to go? You really want to? You want to make it? Is that everything that's everything within you? Is that your heart? Saying, God, I really want to make it. Brother, sister, that's what we've got to strive for. Amen. Let's all stand. I want to read you this as we do that. I know we're a type of this man here, and I just wanted to read it. Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about Enoch. I was just going to quote it, but I feel like I ought to read it. It says, by faith Enoch was translated. That word means changed. He was changed.
Amen.
Only one will be changed. Amen?
Yep.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had changed him.
Amen.
Amen. He had translated him. For before his change, amen, before his change, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, church, let that be your testimony. Oh, let there be a change. You know, why did he please God? I believe he pleased God because he walked with God. When God said, son, won't you just come and stroll with me for a little while? He said, yes, Daddy. Amen. Think about the times. You know, I told the church this back home, and you know, we can use things for the good, but you know, the devil likes to try to use everything that's been invented and things for the bad. And how many have ever had a cell phone? You know, if I'd asked that 25 years ago, well, we wouldn't have got that response, Brother Doug.
That's right.
They had those big brick phones, you know what I'm talking about? Antennas that long. We thought we were something, Karen. A big old... Hey, look at me. But you know, now we got everything right at our fingertips. But you know, how many times maybe, and I don't mean this in any disrespect, but how many times have we been so consumed with that little device that when God says, hey, son, would you spend some time with me? Well, you better send me an email, God, because I just don't know if I got time. Send me a text message. That'd be easier. I don't call anybody anymore. I just text them. Is that what we've come to? In the spirit realm, brother, sister. There's nothing like a one-on-one. I like even FaceTime. I use it. Not for the wrong. I use it because a lot of times it's my parents and they're in another state. And you know, that's good and fine and wonderful, but it's not like one-on-one. Nothing like that. You can't do that through the phone, can you? Woo! Think about it, brothers and sisters. What has happened is we've taken things like this and made substitutes. But God wants to have that fellowship. He wants to be able to come and just rub shoulders with you, as it were. And a lot of times we need to take the time for that. And when you make time for God, He'll make time for you. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Are you the one tonight that's going to be able to say, only one will be changed, and Lord, I know you're calling me to that change. I feel, Lord, that you're pulling me. But I want to again say this, only God can change you. But if you feel that pull, that means God's working something right now. It doesn't have to be some big thing that we've got to wait on for years and years and years. A lot of times we make such a thing where if we're seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we've got to seek it for so many years and it just takes us so long. And a lot of times it's only because we've gotten in the way. Maybe you need a blessing tonight. Maybe it is that you need healing in your body. Do you believe? Do you believe it's for you? Do you believe it's yours tonight? Are you going to be the one to say, Lord, and to humbly bring your rod and say, Lord, here am I. Lord, do with me as you please. I know I need a change. I know I want to be closer to you. God, I have put things in front of you, Lord, that shouldn't be there. But Lord, tonight, I'm coming right now. Lord, I'm saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to do those things tonight. I pray, Lord, that you help me move those things out of the way tonight, Father. Lord, I want to put my focus on you for just these few moments, church. If you'll just give the Lord just a few moments tonight. Let Him speak to your heart. I believe He wants to change us. Maybe we've been closed up. Maybe we've been that little bud and we just kind of held to ourselves, and we've just been that bud for so long. We haven't ever come to blossom yet. Maybe tonight's your night. Would you let the sun shine on you tonight? The S-O-N, would you let Him shine on you tonight? And let that change your life and you just begin to open up to Him. Say, Lord, just overflow in my soul. Oh, let heaven open up tonight. Let your hearts be touched. Let our souls be lifted to Him this evening. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever it is that you have need of, would you take it to the Lord tonight as we pray? Gracious Lord Jesus, Father, we love you so much. Lord, we in ourselves, Lord, we want to be different, but we can't do it on our own. Lord, you said that you would elect, you would choose, and you would show who is yours. And Lord, I'm here tonight, Father, in your hands. I'm asking you, Father, that you would make the changes in me that need to be made. Lord, if I've put other things in front of you, if I've put work in front of church, Lord, forgive me. If I've put the things of this world, even family, Lord, above you, Lord, I want you to be first, Lord, and I know everything else will take its place. I know it will, Lord. Whatever it may be, Lord Jesus, I want everything clear so that, Lord, when I walk out of these doors tonight, that I can say that all is well. Everything within me, all is well. Hallelujah. Everything's been set in order. Everything in my little box car has been set just exactly right, Lord, where you want it to be. Oh God, here we are tonight, Lord Jesus. Take us, Father, as we give ourselves to You. Have Your way, Lord. For Lord, You can do what no other power can do. We place ourselves in Your hands tonight, Father. How we love You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can we just sing that? Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. How many would like that tonight? Amen. We're going to turn the service over to your pastor, but let's just sing this together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill my cup,
Amen. Is that your desire tonight? Hallelujah. You know, if you have that desire, you should say, thank you, Lord. Because think about it. If you didn't have that desire, where would you be? But the very fact that you have that desire, he said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. I can remember a time in my life when I thought that that was a burden and I felt sorry for myself and it was a hardship because I just wanted him so much. How foolish was I? Here I'm thinking this is a bad thing, but he satisfies. You hold on and he meets that desire. And then you realize if I didn't have that painful desire, I never would have sought you. And I never would have what I have right now. Amen? And it's not one and done. Amen? It keeps you coming back for more. Hallelujah. Wave after wave. Amen. Amen. Did you enjoy that tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking tonight as he was talking about that cart and, you know, the two wheels and the wood and, you know, they're trying to bring it that way. You know, that's what they're doing with the tapes. You know, there's two wheels. It's a mechanical device and they're using the tape machine to bear the burden of the word. God never ordained a mechanical device to preach the gospel. The word must be born, amen, over the shoulders of the Levites. Living vessels, bearing that word. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. It's death to do it any other way. Amen. Aren't you glad that God lays all these patterns out there? We've got the shadow, and how much more glorious is the fulfillment, but the shadow is so obvious. That he made it such that a fool would not err therein. Amen. There's such a confidence and such a rest that we can put in the way God does things. Amen. His first way is the right way. It's the best way. And we can have confidence in that. Amen. Come lead us in worship. Let's just worship here for a few more moments. That'd be all right?